Welcome to the Halloween edition of the Gruerich Report podcast. It is Friday, October the 31st, 2014. I am Steve Gruerich, the webmaster of www.gerwek.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news, results, rumors, profiles, etc. And as well, previous editions of the Gruerich Report podcast are available at gerwek.net. So if you enjoyed this podcast, enjoyed our interview with the Honky Tonk Man on Monday and Jake the Snake Roberts, check out the archives at gerwek.net. But I want to say hello to my longtime tag team partner, Frank D, and say happy Halloween, my friend.
Happy Halloween to you as well, and happy Halloween to everybody out there that's listening. This is my favorite day of the year, Halloween. Everybody, you know, who pretty much knows me on Facebook knows that Frank D is a huge Michael Myers fan, and tonight I'm going to go dress up like Michael Myers. I'm going to steal kids' candy. And I'm going to turn off all the lights at my house so nobody comes knocking on my door. And I'm going to head out over here to West Park. I'm going to go scare some kids and take their candy, literally. I'm going to take Snickers.
Yeah, if I have any candy left when it's trick-or-treat time, I will have the lights on and people can come trick-or-treat at my house. But the problem is, frankly, you buy the candy the night before or a couple days before, and by Halloween time, you've had a few pieces here and there.
Yeah, that's how I am, dude. Seriously, I mean, you know, and I'm not going to go out there and really steal anybody's candy. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go out there and scare some kids. I'm all these, you know, Steve, it's funny. All these teenagers that just think they're so big and bad. When they saw me last year in my Michael Myers suit, they ran down the street like little girls. So I can't wait to do that tonight. That's going to be too sweet.
Yeah, one thing I'm going to say about Halloween up front here. If you're 15, 16, 17 years old, don't come to my house. Honestly, Frank, you know, when I think about Halloween, it's for the kids.
Yep.
I'm thinking about the kids that are 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, you know, all excited with their costumes put on, all the different new costumes out there, Spider-Man, Batman, Power Rangers, etc. That's the kids I want to see show up at my house. If you're 16 years old, you know, go to a Halloween party with your friends or something, but you shouldn't be trick-or-treating at that age.
No, you shouldn't.
I think I quit trick-or-treating, honestly, about 11 or 12 years old. I just didn't enjoy it anymore, and I really thought at that time it was really for the kids. It's for the three-year-old kids, you know, the ones that mommy and daddy have to basically bring to the front door because you're too small to, you know, walk the streets. You're too small to walk very far, long distances. I mean, that's when I think of Halloween, it's for the kids. That's what comes to mind. It's not for if you're driving around in your car from going neighborhood to neighborhood. Mm. You know, Frank, really, just stay home or go to your friend's Halloween party and leave the trick or treating for the kids.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to scare the little kiddies around here, and I'm going to the Halloween party they're going to have at the club. That's what I'm going to go tonight. So if you're like 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, you're going to be a little jabroni, and you're going to show up to somebody's house looking for candy. What kind of mark are you?
You know? That's it. Yeah. Yeah, I see that more and more. It seems like more kids now today, when they get into their teen years, even like college kids I'll see, like at the seniors in high school, dress up and go door to door. They want candy, and it's just that's not the idea for trick-or-treating.
If you want candy, I mean, you go to the store.
You had your years.
Yep.
To trick-or-treat. Now it's time for the younger kids to have a chance to go door-to-door and get the candy. And I don't know, if you're 17, 18 years old, Frank, maybe you want to stay home and watch the network. Or then again, maybe you don't, because yesterday we found out at the conference call and the press release, WWE officially announced third quarter financials, and a lot of it had to do with the WWE Network. And Frank D. got a chance to listen to the conference call. We recorded the audio. We had the conference notes as it transpired live yesterday, 11 a.m. Eastern time. The unfortunate thing, Frank, in going back and listening to the conference call was they were not going to address specifics in this conference call. It was a generalization, an overview of their perspective of the numbers, but in essence, they were not going to get into details. I thought one of the most the more interesting topics yesterday was that WWE is eliminating their six-month commitment to the network. It's going to be $9.99 per month, no commitment, cancel any time, not $12.99, not $14.99. And I think it was a legitimate question, you know, why is that disappearing? Why in the month of November are you offering a free month of service to new subscribers, including the Survivor Series pay-per-view? And I don't think they really addressed the overall concern. I mean, they're confident in the content, they're confident in the numbers, but Frank, when you break it all down, they gained about 288,000 subscribers since June, but they lost about 255,000 subscribers as well. So the overall number is 731, and that includes 170 new countries tapping into the network as of August. And, you know, we're at 731,000 subscribers. They're not going to get a million. I don't believe they're going to hit that million by the end of the year. And I do think there is concern in changing the pricing structure, the promotional deals right now, that this network is not flying. It's just not getting over as they thought it would be.
Well, it's not getting over the way they thought it would be because, I mean, honestly, Steve, who's getting over right now in the business? Who on the WWE TV show, outside of Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, are over right now? Nobody. So it's once again, it all goes back to what we talked about here before many times, the trickle-down effect when it comes to the business. If the wrestling business is hot, then everything else is going to be hot. WWE right now is not hot. And this is not Frank D being negative. This is me setting a point and stating facts. The wrestling business right now sucks. So for WWE to launch this network now, hey, you know what? It is what it is. They realized that the $9.99 6-month commitment price point was not working. I, just like you, didn't want to commit to another 6 months with the network, because we're not happy with the content that they have, or lack thereof, I should say, because, hey, they have all these different old school and ECW and WCCW that they have not updated in months. They have not added the AWA stuff on there. They haven't added any of the Mid-South stuff. They haven't added the rest of the Monday Night Shows or Wrestling Challenge or WCW Saturday Night. The list goes on and on and on of content that's missing from the network. So I think that positive, hey, you know what, $9.99, you know, cancel anytime, that's cool. It's still higher than Netflix. It's still higher than Hulu Plus. But what you're getting there, as far as if you consider their pay-per-views actually watchable, you're getting the pay-per-views. You're getting all this other content they have on there for $9.99. I think it's a pretty good deal. They just need to up the content there. But what I got yesterday from covering the conference call is that George Berrios didn't really want to answer any of the specifics about why they're changing certain things. They didn't want to answer about how many subscribers they actually had there and what they're watching. They didn't want to do that. I mean, one of my questions was going to be, how do you actually gauge the audience to know what their audience is watching on the network? But he didn't want to go into specifics of that. You didn't want to go into the specifics of anything, so why have a conference call if you don't want to do that? So I don't know what they're doing. I just think that, you know, with the wrestling business being like it is right now, where nobody is talking about it, the popularity of the product is at an all-time low. The network for right now, until we see what 2015 brings us, it's the 1 million mark, like you said, it's just not going to happen by the end of the year. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, so the updated numbers, to be specific here, was they've added 286,000 subscribers, but the alarming number is they lost 255,000 subscribers. I think that September date that came up for the original subscribers, which would be me and you, Frank, and a lot of numbers of fans out there that signed up on the very first day. Remember the glitches on the very first day? Some people were getting in right away. I was having trouble signing up on the first day. People got a, 7-day trial initially, and then they were committed to 6 months. But that number in September, when that 6-month original commitment came up, and that was something I've said here on this podcast, you know, previously, that was the big number. Was once September came around and the people that subscribed initially for 6 months had to make a decision. We are the fans out there that went through all the glitches, all the issues with the live streams. I had trouble with my Roku. Content that was available on WWE.com was not available on Roku. I don't know if they fixed all that yet, because I don't have the network currently, but episodes of Raw and Nitro weren't there when our subscription expired. We were still waiting on Primetime Wrestling, still waiting on WWF Superstars, AWA Wrestling Challenge, etc. And I'm not sure they're really addressing these concerns. I know they sent out the survey, And, you know, Frank, I did the survey. It took me longer than they told me it was going to take. It was longer than 10 minutes. But I'm hoping that they listen. And these numbers are alarming. It's not panic mode, but at the end of the day, they're changing the pricing structure. They're offering a free month of service with, at one time, you know, Survivor Series was something special. I mean, that was one of their A pay-per-views for the year. Now they're offering Survivor Series for free for new subscribers. You know, I was telling Frank, I think we're entitled to that free month. We were the initial six-month commitments. Six-month commitments are gone now. We were the beta testers. We're the one that paid $99.99 in the initial phase of the network. And it looks like for us, Frank, we'll have to sign up with a different email address to get that free month. But, you know, I think we're entitled to that free month. And, you know, we paid the $60 as they're cutting their teeth on this network. And, again, Frank, I just don't think they realize what the fans want. I think if you read social media, if you go on WWE Network's Facebook page, they're just not getting it. They're happy with this 90% approval number that they're quoting for subscribers and their fans for the network. And there's just so much core material, core content that's still missing. I mean, Frank, they could have launched this network in 2012, which was the original idea in 2012. Here comes a network. They'd probably be in the same boat. They'd probably be stronger because they'd at least have 2 years to kind of see where they are. But the two extra years, you would think they would have got rid of the glitches. Sign up would have been smooth. Live streams would have been fine. All the core material would be there. All the old shows are there. You know, when I see fans say, you know, you're nitpicking. I wrote that blog, Why I Let My Subscription Expire. And people saying, you're nitpicking. Oh, they don't have Livewire on there. Or they don't have Velocity. No, I mean, those aren't the core shows. I mean, when I grew up watching WWF, what made WWF great in the 80s was Vince McMahon and Jesse Ventura on Superstars. Wrestling Challenge with Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan. Wrestling Spotlight with Mean Gene Okerlund. Those are the core shows I'm talking about. I grew up watching the Crockett shows on 605 TBS. Before it was WCW, it was NWA with Ric Flair in these little studios. With the Four Horsemen, with Road Warriors, Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express. That's what I expected to be on this network by now, and yet that material is still not there. That content is not there. And again, Frank, I don't think they're addressing the content issue. They're all about numbers, and I don't think they realize what fans really want from their network.
Exactly. They're addressing the numbers issue, but they're not addressing the content issue. If they were addressing the content issue, then UK one-night-only pay-per-view that's on the network would be the full show. And I complained about this back when I first signed up on the network, like months ago, and it's still the same tape. They've never changed the tape. So they're not addressing the content issues. They're not addressing anything. So that's the reason why their network is the way it is. They only have themselves to blame. They only have themselves to blame if this network is a failure. And they're in the long run for this. They have to be, because you've alienated your pay-per-view distributors, you've alienated the cable companies. There's no turning back on this now. This has to work. So they're going to keep doing whatever they need to do in order to get people to sign up.
I think it also speaks, Frank, that the biggest selling point initially when they launched was you get every pay-per-view as part of your subscription, $9.99. Now we saw the non-subscribers, what was it, 48,000 buys for Night of Champions?
That's what I saw.
I mean, this speaks to the point you were saying that WWE is not hot, the product is not hot. So just by you offering the live pay-per-views for $9.99 is not a great value. When fans don't care about your pay-per-views, who cares? Who cares if you have to pay $9.99 for it?
Exactly. I mean, you mean tell me out of how many people watch Raw every week? I mean, they tout this like 4 million people watch Raw, right? Something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. But only 731,000 actually subscribe to your network?
And that's a worldwide number.
And that's a worldwide number. So that shows you right there, that's a huge drop-off, because 3.4 million people, and I'm not Michael Cole here, and I'm not going to hashtag this and hashtag that. I'm just stating facts. 3.4 million likes, Steve, on the WWE Network Facebook page. Out of 3.4 million likes, only 731,000 are network subscribers. What the hell does that tell you?
Well, again, I just think their product is oversaturated. I knew, Frank, when they went to 3 hours with Raw, I mean, they couldn't produce a good two-hour show. And all of a sudden, we're supposed to watch 3 hours of Raw. We're supposed to watch SmackDown on Friday nights. I guess it probably can be changing nights to a different night. But that's 5 hours of first-run programming per week. And I'm supposed to care about NXT. I'm supposed to care about main event. I'm supposed to care about the pay-per-views when there's just so much television. Yeah, and superstars. And the content you're giving us for free is not great. And what makes me think ordering the pay-per-view or ordering your network to get the pay-per-view is going to change any of that? I think it really speaks volumes. I'm not saying they're in panic mode, but to give up a month of free service now in November for Survivor Series, I think that shows there's a little bit of desperation going on. They got rid of the six-month commitment, which was a necessary feat right now, a necessity to order the network at $9.99. Wasn't really $9.99, Frank. If you're making a six-month commitment, it's really $60 for the 6 months.
That's right.
And even though you're getting the pay-per-views, if people don't care about the pay-per-views, and obviously they don't, I mean, what was the pay-per-view all about, Frank? It's about matches that you want to see. Well, you give me so much content now that's not very good. What's special there for the pay-per-views? We ended up with Brock versus John Cena to headline SummerSlam. We already seen it.
Yep.
Nothing special. What are they going to do for WrestleMania this year? I mean, Rock's going to come back maybe.
There's nothing there, man.
No.
There's nothing there. And you know, you're speaking right volumes of what everybody else is thinking. Who actually cares about the pay-per-views? Who finds this entertaining at this point? You know, this is just, it's mind-boggling to me that, you know, see, at the end of the day, you can't blame the talent. You can't blame the talent. And I'm going to say why I bring that up. I look at Hell in a Cell pay-per-view this past weekend, and I look at the match between Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. That's the only match on the whole show that I saw. That was a pretty good cage match for the confines and the restraints that they have as far as no blood. That match between Rollins and Ambrose, that match needed some blood because it has been such a heated rivalry, a heated situation. It needed blood. It needed something. And they tried their best. I give Ambrose and Rollins all the credit in the world. They did the best they could do with what they were working with. Do the mass majority of the people out there care about your pay-per-views? Obviously not. The mass majority of the people that watch your shows care about your network? Obviously not. When Triple H has to come out there and tout $9.99. They even made a damn song about it. $9.99. Every time you see Grandpa Huckster bring his, you know, decrepit ass to the ring, he's always talking $9.99. Okay? They put all this content out now. I'm talking about main event. I'm talking about NXT. I'm talking about superstars. They have all this extra content out now at a point when the wrestling business sucks. You know, we used to do things simple back in the day, Steve, during the Attitude Era, where you had Raw is War, and then you had Sunday Night Heat. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then it went from that to, and it grew to SmackDown. But before that, we used to have, you know, it was Monday Night Raw, and then there was Shotgun Saturday Night. Remember that?
Yep.
So you had that. We had a little show back in the day called Livewire, where you could, you know, and we're gonna talk a little bit about that today too. You had that. You had, what was it? They canceled Wrestling Challenge, and they still had Superstars. But Superstars was more along the lines of a recap show. They had it. That's what I'm talking about. You bring all this content out now when the wrestling business isn't hot and their network isn't hot and nothing's flowing, and you're wondering, well, what are we going to do to change the people? What do we have to do for this? What do we have to do for that? There's nothing you can do right now. Well, how about giving the fans some creative storylines? give us something to sink our teeth into that has nothing to do with John Cena or Brock Lesnar or Randy Orton. What happened to the Wyatt family, Steve? You know what I'm saying? What happened to those guys?
And I think largely too, you've said this before on this podcast, we've discussed this. Who is their target audience? Young males, right? 13, 14, 15. Well, they don't order pay-per-views. They don't order Netflix. I mean, it's up to mom and daddy's charge count to make these purchases. And I don't think the 13, 14, 15-year-old kids want to watch the network.
Well, let me tell you this, Steve. See, I'm funny you bring it up. True story here. 13 years old, right? I'm 13 years old back in the day, you know, 1996. And I ran my cable bill up to $300.
Wow.
Yeah, I did that. You better believe I got a well whooped hassle for that one. But, I ran the cable bill up to $300 because I was ordering all the pay-per-views. I was ordering all the WCW. I was ordering all the WWF because it was entertaining. Do you think a kid today is going to go on there and be like, oh, let me go and like you just said, let me go in here and order the network, right? No, they're not going to do that. And then on top of that, here's the deal. You don't give them a reason to. You got this 13, 14-year-old demographic, whatever. These kids that are 13, 14 years old, I don't know what warped sensibility or warped philosophy the WWE has. These children that they're quote-unquote catering to, hey, man, they're playing violent video games. They're playing Grand Theft Auto 5. They're playing Call of Duty. You know what I'm saying? That's what they're doing. They're watching the horror films. They're not watching wrestling.
Yep.
What 14, 15-year-old do you see out there with a John Cena t-shirt on talking about you can't see it? Who's doing it? When I was 13, 14 years old, hey, man, it was the NWO for life. It was too sweet, you know? That's what it was in my day, in my time. You don't see that nowadays. There's nobody really wearing wrestling t-shirts anymore. There's nobody doing anything that has to do with wrestling. And I can like Ring of Honor like you do, Steve. I can like Ring of Honor like anybody else. But is Ring of Honor really going to cater to the masses right now? No, it's not. TNA, they're the dead brand. They're done. They've been promising us a TV deal for a month, and it hasn't happened. I mean, the biggest you know, story that's coming out of their camp right now is, oh, you know, we're going to have Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle's going to re-sign with us. Well, of course Kurt Angle's going to re-sign with you. Where is he going to go?
Right.
He has nowhere to go. He tried to go back to the Whip, and the Whip didn't want him. You should think about that next time, Kurt, when you're crying in Vince's office and talking about how you're done and you go over to TNA. You should think about that. But anyways, to sum up the bottom line here on the WWE Network numbers and where they're going, they're going nowhere. We got the end of the year coming up. I'm optimistic that by next summer, maybe they'll be at a million subscribers. I will say that. And if I'm wrong, I'm like Vince McMahon. If I'm wrong, then somebody out there can put me in the headlock.
If they don't have a million subscribers by next summer, they're in some serious trouble.
If they don't have a million subscribers by WrestleMania, they're in some serious trouble.
And they have to really scratch their head and figure out what the heck's going on here.
Right, because here's the deal. If you can't draw, and they're putting it all on the Golden Boy. They're putting it all on Roman Reigns, right? That's what they're talking about, Roman Reigns. He's going to be the one to take on Brock Lesnar, right? Well, that's going to put subscribers on the network, right? That's going to get people to want the network. We shall see if that's going to get people to want the network. Because they got a serious, serious problem right now. And the problem is that you are trying to present a product that sucks, that's bad, that the storytelling is bad. I have heard Solomonster Sounds Off podcast. He has said it, and I agree with him. You know what? It's Raw is the worst show on TV. And you know something, Steve? When I look at you know, TV shows out right now, like, you know, Gotham on Fox, Sons of Anarchy on FX, I looked at, you know, what's the other one out there, the real hot one everybody watches? The Walking Dead on AMC.
Yep.
When I look at TV shows like that, and I look at the storytelling of TV shows like that, Raw is the worst show on TV. I mean, how is it that you have a faction that was teased with Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, and Big E, and you completely drop it like it never happened? I mean, what TV show does that? They just drop a story just like that. Doesn't happen. You never see that happen on the Sons of Anarchy. It doesn't happen.
You know, Frank, I can't say, because I don't watch a lot of television. I'll be honest with you. I watch some things on Netflix, Hulu. I really don't watch network television. I don't have satellite anymore. I can't honestly sit here and say Raw is the worst show on television. But I will say it's unwatchable, it's boring, and it's on for 3 hours. And even though it's live, I really don't care.
Yep.
I mean, Frank, it's hard for me to sit through the 90-minute recap show on Hulu. Most of the time I buzz through it because there's just nothing there. The storylines are not gripping me. The characters aren't interesting. People like Seth Rollins. People like Dean Ambrose. They like The Shield. They like Roman Reigns. I get it. That's cool, but it's just not driving me to watch Raw every week. It's not driving me to want the network. It's not driving me to order SmackDown. I mean, Frank, I am someone the WWE caters to from a perspective of the network, because me being a wrestling fan, they want me to be a subscriber, but they don't deliver on the core content that we want, that we need, that supposedly they take these surveys for, and they're still scratching their head on the content. And they say, you know, we're still happy with our content. Well, how could you be happy with your content when you're not getting the numbers you anticipated? You're not going to get a million buys. And like Frank says, if they don't have a million buys by WrestleMania time, I'd really start to question this. I mean, I've said on this show, I think it's going to be a success. I think they're going to get these kinks worked out, and I do think they're going to get their million subscribers, and eventually they're going to be on the right track. But right now, in the meantime, and people will say, well, it's a new network. It's in its infancy stages. But so many times I hear from people and talking to people. I heard this on a radio station the other day. They were talking about the WWE Network, and the guy's like, oh, I was a big wrestling fan growing up, but I really don't want to watch wrestling today. Man, if I was a kid and they had the WWE Network then, boy, I would have been all over that. But now it's 2014. The wrestling product sucks. Mm-hmm. TNA sucks. Everything you just said right there. The business is not hot, and if the business is not hot and I'm not excited about watching wrestling on Monday nights, I don't think I'm going to be excited about spending $10 a month to watch a lot of the same content I'm already getting for free on television. And as you said also, Frank, a lot of the things that people want to see, you can find on YouTube. And we're talking to the Honky Tonk Man. It's like the Honky Tonk Man's debut is not on the network, but yet you can go on YouTube and you can find it for free.
Exactly. And you know something, Steve? One of our Facebook group members, Wayne May, want to send a shout out to him, always showing love to the GRP. He asked a question. He says, with everything that, you know, came out yesterday about the financial numbers, do we think that it was a mistake for WWE to launch the network? I don't think it's a mistake for them to launch the network. I would just say that they launched at the wrong time. They launched it when they have too much content on TV. You have a situation, like I said, where, you know what, all the wrestling fans that are out there, we've been watching wrestling clips and TV shows for free on YouTube for years. So, yeah, how are you going to, you know, when you have a situation where all this stuff is free on YouTube and you're selling it for $9.99, but you don't have all the stuff that's on YouTube, that's a huge problem. And then you edit the footage, and then, you know, they want to filter the blood on certain videos, and that's a big problem too, because you have these parental controls. The whole network seems just ass backwards. It's like, I don't know who's running this ship, but somebody needs to steer it in the right course.
Yeah, somebody was saying on social media yesterday, a lot of the people associated with the network have lost their jobs, including the program director.
Me too.
And then George Barros is out there who kind of spearheaded the network launch. It's not delivering on what they expected, and he's fine, and he's making his millions of dollars. And, you know, we talked about it before on this podcast as well, Frank. They cut $40 million from the budget. Did they cut the network? The network executives' pay? Did they cut the company jet? I mean, honestly, Frank, when you have a company like WWE that's losing money right now, they lost, what, $5 million plus this last quarter. Why can't Vince McMahon, the chairman and CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment, come forward and say, you know what, for this upcoming year, because the company is struggling, I'm gonna take a $1 salary, or I'm going to take zero salary for my job. I don't need millions of dollars. I have millions of dollars. I'm worth, what, $1 billion, depending on who you believe, with Forbes. I don't need to draw a salary from World Wrestling Entertainment. I'm Vince McMahon. You see this a lot of times with when companies struggling, the leader comes forward and says, I'm going to cut my salary in half. I'm going to cut my salary down to a buck. I'm going to take zero pay. Because you know in the final analysis, if Vince cuts his salary to zero next year, is he going to make $0? Of course not. He's going to make money from his stock options. They make millions of dollars from their stock options every quarter. So why can't Vince McMahon, if everybody else is going to take a haircut in that company, you know, they're going to cut back on paying all the benefits to wrestlers, use less wrestlers, talent releases. I saw speculation on internet about talent not feeling too comfortable right now with, you know, another quarter. They've lost a lot of money. Does that mean guys like Heath Slater and some of the other guys that are lower on the card are in jeopardy of losing their jobs? Yeah, probably. And yet, why doesn't Vince McMahon or somebody of higher authority in that company come forward and say, okay, we're struggling right now. I'm going to take zero money in 2015 for my salary, and I'll take the first haircut because I can afford it. You know, a lot of the talent that I have under my guidance or on under roster or under contract to me really need that paycheck. So as a leader, publicly traded company, I'm coming forward. I'm cutting my salary to $0 for 2015. It doesn't mean it's going to save everything. It doesn't make everything right. But from a PR standpoint, but Frank, that would have been better than them coming on a press conference yesterday and essentially saying nothing, saying that they're still confident in their model, they're still confident in their content, when, I don't know, Frank, look at the numbers. It doesn't bear out what they're saying.
Yeah, and Steve, you said it right there. You talk about McMahon, you know, taking a pay cut, and we've lost a lot of money. Well, why is it that you're losing all this money? Because your product sucks. That's why. Nobody wants to see it. That's the problem. You keep shoving John Cena down our throat, Randy Orton down our throat. Nobody wants to see these guys. If they did, then the wrestling business would be hot, right? I mean, I hear all this stuff, Steve, about CM Punk. When is CM Punk going to come back? If CM Punk, hey, if the guy was that hot, the wrestling business would have been hot, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
Damn it. So,
yeah.
Obviously, he wasn't that hot then. Obviously, he was a star in this era. Now, in this era, has sucked. That's where he was a star in. It's not like Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's not like The Rock. It's funny, when The Rock comes back, this guy makes your whole roster look like jabrones.
That's true. And that, I think that's one of the main reasons, as I've said before, you're not seeing that core content, because when you go back and you watch some of those 80s shows, those 90s shows, man, it makes today's product seem even worse than what we remember. When we're reminded of a really hot Raw show from back in the day, or we're reminded of something from the 80s that was Andre and Hulk and Savage and Piper and all these stars they had, Hercules and Mr. Wonderful. And you look at today's roster and you're thinking, where's the star power today that they had back in that day? And it really shines a pretty negative light on what you currently have. I mean, the bottom line to me is wrestling product's not hot, and I get so much for it for free. You get Raw and SmackDown for free every week, 5 hours, plus all the other shows that are out there. You can get so much content for free online. Why am I really paying $9.99? Because the pay-per-views ain't going to get it done, Frank. And you can get the Survivor Series for free. That shows you you get the Survivor Series for free. That shows you they don't have any confidence in their pay-per-views generating a buy. And, you know, they're all in on this project. They've alienated the satellite companies. They're not going to go back to pay-per-view. To me, that Survivor Series has to be huge. I mean, they should be putting all their effort into making Survivor Series the most watched pay-per-view, one of the greatest wrestling pay-per-views of all time, because Fans are going to get a chance to see it for free. And there's got to be some incentive for people to plunk down the $9.99. It doesn't seem like a whole lot, but there are so many things out there to spend your money on. And if it's a product that you're not enthusiastic about, they're not going to pay the $9.99. And it's a show that I had as an idea you hinted to was Live Wire. Why can't they, Frank, as for original content, have a live nightly show, 1 hour, like a Live Wire back in the day, where somebody is live in the studio with somebody of authority in WWE? It could be a Stephanie, it could be a Vince McMahon, it could be a Triple H, it could be Dusty Rhodes or Michael Hayes. Somebody's got some authority in that company. They could come on for 1 hour every night, take live phone calls, text messages, tweets, Facebook messages, etc. Why can't they come on their network and talk to the fans and see what the pulse of their fan base is, see what's going on in the WWE universe? What are they afraid of? Because, you know, back in the day when they do Live Wire, they didn't really want to talk about the other companies. Well, now they own everything. They're only in competition with themselves at this point. So if that show gets off and people are talking about, oh, I watched Live Wire, and last night they were talking about something from the Monday Night War era, or they're talking how they may be interested in TNA talent or something along that line that gets people buzzing and talking about wrestling again. I mean, Frank, I cover wrestling on the website, and even though the wrestling news is boring, and I really feel for the fan base because there's just nothing out there that grips you, that makes you enthusiastic. And if it's a show like Live Wire or some form of Live Wire on the network where it gets fans talking again, then give it to us. Why not try it?
Here's the thing I want to say about that right quick. Well, first of all, I want to say something about Survivor Series. Like I said, Wayne May, who's one of our Facebook followers in the group, he's been posting some Coliseum video pictures lately of the Survivor Series coverage back in the day. And I said the other day to him, I said, Survivor Series, this is when Survivor Series really meant something outside of Montreal Screwjob. You know what I mean? Well, Survivor Series was a big deal, because the only thing Survivor Series is known for now is the Montreal Screwjob. They don't really put emphasis on Survivor Series anymore. I said a long time ago, Survivor Series should have been turned into War Games and really bring a buzz. You know what I mean? That could be – I mean, they're giving you this show, and does anybody remember last year's Survivor Series, how it sucked with Big Show versus Randy Orton in the main event?
Oh, yeah.
They don't – Survivor Series is garbage. Now, it is too bad, because I remember back in the day seeing Survivor Series was a big deal. That was the Thanksgiving tradition. That was a huge deal. And it was I'm going to be watching some of those on the network. Just to give that nostalgic, feeling, just like, it's Halloween today. Why on the network are they not, featuring Halloween Havoc? Why not do theme months like they used to do on WWE, 24/7? Halloween Havocs. It's just common sense stuff. You mentioned there about, George Berrios a little while ago having his job, and at the bottom line, man, they're not, people like him are not going to be the ones at fault. I mean, we heard, reports earlier this year that, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon are not fans of George Berrios and Michelle Wilson, because they feel that they're making the network a flop. And that's what those are the people that you need to get rid of. And Berrios just came off to me yesterday, listening to the conference call, just like, he's pretty much an arrogant prick, is how he came off to me. Not wanting to answer anybody's questions about people's money that they have invested in this company, invested in this, project, which is the network. And when you talk about bringing back Livewire, I think that's a great idea. The problem, though, is it's not going to happen, because if you remember, they were going to do a studio show with Jonathan Coachman. That was rumored. Remember that? And they pulled back on that because supposedly they can't afford it. They can't afford, Steve, to take their own damn cameras and record and then put it on their own damn network. They can't do it. Just like they put out a video the other day. I don't know if anybody saw it, and I thought it was actually very interesting. They put a video out the other day and said, can you survive a WWE tryout? Did you see that video?
No, I didn't.
Okay. It's a video of them showing these recruits at the Performance Center. And they're showing them go through the drills. They're showing them do all – it's pretty much Tough Enough, but it's a grittier version of it. and it has Bill DeMott on there, and it's got William Regal and Dusty Rhodes, and they're showing promo class and all that. Why not bring it back and bring something like that to the network? I was a fan of Toughen Up, so why not do it? Well, we can't do that. A lot of people like Legends House. Why not do that? Well, we can't do it. We can't afford to do it because they would have to. Now that I understand, they'd have to rent a house, and you know what WWE is going to be top of the line, like they did in Palm Springs, California. So they're going to have to rent a house, you know, pay the talent, you know, and all that. I understand that. But Toughen Up can be done. The Livewire can be done. But, you know, the problem is with Livewire, Seed, is that WWE is not too privy to interaction with the fans on that type of situation if they're not screening it. You know what I mean? There might be certain questions that they don't want to answer.
That's what would grab people is I could pose a question that they may not like, but, hey, I'm on live on the network. I'm live on the air.
Well, do you remember a show back in 2001? And I'm going way back with this one. Does anybody out there remember a show called WWF Excess? It was with Jonathan Coachman and I believe Trish Stratus. Very first episode they had was Triple H. And Triple H was on there, and this is when he was, you know, recovering from the quad injury. That's how far back the show was. And they had, it didn't last very long, but they had Coach on there, and I remember a guy calling in, and he says, I don't know if they're going to answer, you know, and this was after they bought WCW, a fan wanted to ask Triple H, says, I don't know if they're going to let me answer tonight, and Triple H was like, well, it's live TV, what are they going to do? So I asked your question. And Coach was like, well, you know, if the question's okay, then you can ask. The question was, does Triple H still talk to Scott Hall and Kevin Nash? That was the question.
You know, Frank, there should be no question that they can't answer.
Right.
They own everything. They own the universe. They own the wrestling world.
Yep.
Controversy does create cash. I mean, they put out a documentary on the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior.
Right.
Why can't you have – I mean, they need something edgy. I don't – you know, personally, I don't care about another season of Tough Enough. I don't care about another season of Legends House. And to me, a studio show like a Livewire would not cost them all that much money. It could be relatively cheap to do. Could get the people buzzing about talking about wrestling again, and people voice their opinions, things they like, things they didn't like, ask questions, and I don't know, put somebody on the spot and say, why isn't Randy Savage in the Hall of Fame?
Oof.
I mean, there's probably an internal company question answer to that. That if ever they're asked, did they give that answer, standard answer? But, you know, if suddenly people are calling and asking these kind of questions, and people are like, hey, did you watch that show last night? Did you hear about that WWE Network show, Livewire? Wow, I mean, fans are asking legitimate questions and, you know, put WWE on the spot. I mean, they want to be as interactive with their fans as possible. You know, tweet us and Facebook us and text message and all this other stuff. We'll go all the way and do it. There's no reason they can't do a studio show like that, and that could really get the water cooler talk again. People talking about wrestling again,
that's
but
not gonna happen.
Not gonna happen.
That's
so
not gonna, I'm telling you, Steve. I've known you 10 years. You know what? It's a good idea. It's just not gonna happen because
no, it's not.
They don't want to answer the tough questions. They don't want to answer the question about why Randy Savage isn't in the Hall of Fame. They don't want to answer the questions about, well, how come your show sucks? Well, can I ask you a question about creative? We don't want those questions. Those are things that you're not supposed to know about. You're not supposed to ask questions about stuff like that. You know, they have the breaking news section of the network, but they even screwed that up. So they don't, you know.
That's right. Remember they were going to do a SportsCenter like show?
Right, with Jonathan Coachman, and it fell through.
Yeah.
Coachman even said, yeah, it looks like it's not going to happen. That's what Jonathan Coachman, you haven't heard anything else about it. So it's just not going to happen. They claim that they don't have money for this and that. They don't, but yeah, we have enough money to get brand new WWE Network, you know, aprons made for the ring with the pink on them, you know, stuff like that. You know, they have money for that. But you know, and I want to bring something up right quick too, while we're on the subject of of the Susan G. Corman Foundation that they do with on Raw right now.
Right.
I was listening to another podcast, Don Tony Kevin Castle show, and Don Tony brought up a good point. I want to get your opinion on this. Why is it that WWE can tout this about breast cancer, and I'm all for that, right? But what do you think the majority of your audience out there is are males? Why don't they do anything about prostate cancer or pancreatic cancer or lung cancer? Why are they just focused on breast cancer now?
I think it speaks to a bigger picture when it comes to cancer is why are we looking for a cure and why aren't we looking for the cause?
Right.
I mean, we have all this GMO, we have all these vaccines of toxins in food and drinks. Why aren't we identifying what it is that's causing all this increases in cancer, pancreas cancer, lung cancer? You know, people are getting lung cancer, they don't even smoke.
Right.
Why isn't this a bigger issue? Why are we always looking for a cure when we're not looking for the cause? You know, cause and effect. If we can cut down on the reason all this cancer is being caused, then let's slow down the process. Not people, you know, I don't have a problem with them doing the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but I would agree with that assessment is in general. Let's not just shed light on breast cancer. Because cancer, pediatric cancer is through the roof, Frank.
Yep.
You go to a hospital now, there's kids that are bald because they're having treatment for all these cancers.
Yep.
5 years old, kids are dying from cancer. Where is that a major concern in this country?
Yep.
You know, I understand breast cancer, and a lot of people that I know have been affected by breast cancer.
Right.
But it's not the only cancer. You watch these shows, you think only women with breasts are being affected. I mean, men get affected with breast cancer. And why don't we shed more light on the bigger picture of cancers? Why is there such an increase across the board in so many areas of cancer? I mean, brain cancer, oral cancer. You know, people are getting cancer in their mouths. So they don't chew tobacco. They don't smoke. Or oral cancer. I mean, I understand the need to emphasize breast cancer, but don't lose sight on. I mean, cancer is through the roof.
Yeah.
And Let's find out why cancer is through the roof. I mean, 20 years ago, we're not in the same boat we are today. Why don't we find what's causing this, and then maybe we can fight it that way?
I totally agree. And I just, you know, like I said, I was listening to their podcast, and I enjoy their show. And they brought that up, and I got to thinking that's something that I want to bring up on our show. It's just, you know, I lost my grandmother to lung cancer, but she smoked, so I understand. When you think about the cancers all around, off the board here, and what's actually going on in the country, we need to figure out and find the cause of the problem so we can get rid of the problem. I tell you one thing, this is the reason why I don't eat McDonald's, okay? I went to a McDonald's when they were doing their buy one frappe, get one free. And I saw on the sign in the drive-thru, it says that there are chemicals in this building in the food that may cause cancer. And when I saw that, I said, I'm getting the hell away from here. And this is McDonald's. And they wonder why they have 30% drop in revenue this year. It's
garbage food.
It's garbage food, exactly.
You know, Frank, when I'm seeing across the country, people are voting on GMO labeling. In fact, your state out there, they shot it down, GMO labeling. Why wouldn't somebody want to know what's in the food they're eating?
Right.
And GMO, every time they run tests on rats, they give it genetically modified organisms. That's what GMO is, genetically modified corn. They give them the generically modified product, and they develop tumors.
Yeah.
And yet all these companies like Monsanto out there want to put all these chemicals in your food, and they don't want you to know about it. And then when cancer is through the roof, we're supposed to scratch our heads and just say, oh, yeah, let's pay attention to breast cancer awareness.
Right.
For the month of October. We should be worried about cancer 12 months of the year, not just 1 month where we're isolated on Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We should be worried about all cancers at all times and finding out why we're getting all these cancers, all these pesticides they spray on things that end up in our dinner table.
Right.
This is the real issue, and it's just alarming that I'm seeing across – I mean, this is election time, Frank. I don't know if you've noticed.
Oh,
but there are there's advertisements everywhere. Now, I tell you, honestly, to get off topic here, if you run an advertisement on my television, if you run an advertisement in my newspaper, if I hear your name on a radio shooting on your candidate, the competitor in your election, I don't vote for you. I don't care if you got an R, a D, or whatever, Greenpeace, Green Party. I don't care, Frank. If you're going to run an election and I'm supposed to vote for you, I want to know what you're going to do. I want to know what you stand for. I don't care what the other guy did. If I'm going to vote for Frank D for anything, tell me what Frank D stands for. What's his core beliefs? What will he stand up for? What will he fight for? Will he give in to special interest groups? Will he sell himself out? If I know who Frank D is, I'm going to vote for Frank D. I'm not going to vote for Frank D if he runs advertisements just pissing on his competitor, because I don't care. And so much of your money that you donate to the R's and D's end up with these slimy commercials on television saying, you can't vote for this guy. This guy's a satanic worshiper. Or this guy stole money from the treasury, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't care. We need to stand up for core values in this country. We need to stand up to get rid of special interests. We need to stand up for tearing down our military-industrial complex, getting rid of all these wars, getting rid of GMO, getting rid of Ebola. These are the issues that we need leadership on. And if you run an advertisement where all you do is just sling mud on your competitor, I'm not going to vote for you. I mean, Frank, over the years, I've always been a Republican. I've been a conservative. But in recent years, once you get past the surface and you see what the R's stand for and what these so-called conservatives stand for, I mean, we're in a situation where I thought we're going to get rid of Obamacare, right? Everybody said, Obamacare is awful. Let the Republicans control the Senate. Let the Republicans control the House of Representatives, and we'll get rid of Obamacare. Well, they don't even run on that anymore. They've given up on that. You know, to me, the Republicans have sold out. I'm not getting on here to say vote for R's, vote for D's. All I'm saying is pay attention and don't believe these stupid ads they run on television or listen to the radio or in your local newspaper. Find out who these people really are. See who they're endorsed by, who's putting money in their pockets. You're going to find a lot of times the R's and D's are getting the same money, because it doesn't matter who wins, the R's or the D's, because they're going to get their agenda through anyways. The big banks are going to control things. The corporations are going to control things. McDonald's is exempt from Obamacare. So that hamburger joint down the street has to pay the Obamacare tax, but McDonald's is tax exempt. Is that fair? Well, if that pisses you off, then you should pay attention to what's going on in the election cycle and not just vote for the R's and the D's.
Well,
period.
Said. Well said.
You know, I'm just getting so – I'm sitting here, you know, as we're talking. If I have the TV on in the background or I'm listening to the radio, or you go on the internet and there's advertisements – I mean, there's advertisements show up on my website. And let me say this. If there's an R or D advertising on Gerwig.net, those views do not necessarily represent the viewpoint of Steve Gerwig or Gerwig.net. I tell you, Frank, when I go to the election on Tuesday, there's going to be no R's and D's on my ballot,
yeah.
Period. I'm going to vote for the proposals in my area. I'm going to vote for the state proposals. I'm going to vote for libertarians that are standing up for the Constitution. But the R's and D's, they're not going to get my vote, period.
Very good. And we could do a whole podcast about that. We can do a whole podcast about, you know, issues that really piss me off as far as, you know, we need in California, and not even in California, every damn where. We need a lot more tougher laws as it relates to drunk drivers. That's a really big problem. Drunk drivers is a really big problem here in California. It's a really big problem all over the state of California. It's a really big problem in the Antelope Valley. And I'm talking to Lancaster, Palmdale. So very big problem here. With, you can send a dope dealer to jail, but a drunk driver who will go out there and kill somebody, we'll give him manslaughter. I don't believe that's manslaughter. See, I think that's murder. When you get inside of a car and you know that you are inebriated and you go out there and you hit somebody and you kill them, they need to really remap the laws here and put stricter laws on drunk drivers, stricter laws on pedophiles. They need to do a whole lot more stuff than what they're doing. And like I said, man, that's another podcast from every day.
Well, I think that's a good issue right there. I mean, why is alcohol legal and pot is not?
Right.
I mean, I'm not a big proponent of legalizing everything, but at the same time, when we have alcohol that you can buy, that kids can buy, they have access, they get a buyer, they can get access to alcohol, that is fine, that is tolerated, and yet pot smoking, which, I don't know, Frank, doesn't usually kill many people, right?
Well, let me tell you something about that, Steve, right quick. The biggest killer, in my opinion, that will get you to do that will get you to do something like that, it's going to be alcohol. It's not going to be marijuana. See, I'm all for the legalization of marijuana, simply because the biggest problem in this country, it's not marijuana.
No.
It's your prescription over-the-counter drugs that you get at the store. That's your problem. The biggest problem is the doctors that want to, you know, write phony prescriptions. You know what I'm saying? That's on the take. That's your problem. So people that's taking the Vicodins are you know the you know the Valiums, the uppers and downers, all that stuff, the meth addicts and all that stuff. That's your problem. It ain't weed. You know what I'm saying?
Oxycodone.
Yep. That's your problem. That's what people are strung out and addicted. I have seen countless times where there have been, you know, robberies and burglaries at CVS's. And they, you know, see, they didn't go in there for the money. You know what they went in there for? They went in there for the drugs.
Yep.
That's what they want. They don't want the money. They want the drugs. So that's
I had a local pharmacy broke in 3 times in like the last year. What are they doing? They're stealing the drugs.
Exactly. They don't want the
money. Don't want the money.
Yeah.
No, they want the Vicodins.
Exactly.
They want the Oxycontin.
Yep.
Xanax, all that stuff.
Yep.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
That's what they're after.
But that issue never comes. You don't hear about that. You don't hear about these issues that we're bringing up. And I know right there are people listening right now, this is a wrestling podcast, whatever. But you know what? At some point in life, we have to look past wrestling, sports entertainment, and look at the everyday real life of what's going on here. You know, what's going on here in your community, what's going on in my community. Because, hey, you know what? Bottom line is, Steve's out there in Michigan, Brady's out here in California, but you know what? All the issues intertwine the same. We all have the same damn issues. And we need, and you know what? At the bottom line is, and this is what really irritates me, it doesn't matter what race you are. It don't matter if you're black, you're white, you're Chinese, you're Mexican, you're Hispanic, you're Indian. Don't matter. We all got the same damn problems. Because at the end of the day, it's the working class like me, Steve, and everybody else that listens versus the politicians out there. They're going to make money off of us, and that's the bottom line.
And that's, again, I go back with Vince McMahon right now. It's all about taking a haircut, right?
Yep.
You hear that so many times. They got to take a haircut. So I got to cut talent because my network isn't succeeding. Well, Vince McMahon could be the role model for that company and say, I'm going to take a buck next year. I'm not going to take my millions of dollars in salary. Stand up and be accountable. To me, a lot of things with WWE is, where is the accountability on a lot of these issues? They come on to a press conference. They do a conference call. Numbers are not anywhere near what they expect them to be. And they can just say, we're happy with the business model, we're happy with the core content. And yet you've seen so many people, the lower-end people, get the shaft, get fired. And who's ultimately responsible for the network? These guys on the conference call, and they're going to suffer no ramifications for the messages. Nobody's going to suffer for that $5 million loss. That's a network executive. That's a higher up in WWE. Triple H is not going to take a pay cut. Stephanie McMahon's not going to take a pay cut. The average guy, like a Heath Slater, and I'm not saying he's going to get released. He just, the guy comes to mind, a guy on the lower end. These guys are worrying about their tomorrow because they're not being pushed, or they get a dumb gimmick on television. And once they're fired, once they're gone, or once their pay is cut, they have nowhere else to go. And that's just where the wrestling business is right now. These guys that get cut, they can't go to TNA. There's no money in TNA. There's not much money in Ring of Honor, unfortunately. Unless you get booked internationally, Frank, you're going to go independently for a while, make some money because you just got off WWE television. But as soon as that's over, You're just a nobody. You're just a jabroni out there. And yet, Vince McMahon will be fine. Stephanie will be fine. Linda McMahon will be fine, etc. But if you're Heath Slater or somebody of his ilk, I would be worried right now for that pink slip to come.
Yeah. See, Heath Slater, Zack Ryder, all these guys they're not doing anything with. And it's sad because you know what? That's when people – it really pisses me off when people want to knock WCW. This is what WCW was here for, an alternative. If you didn't like what was going on in WWE, you go to WCW. If you didn't like what was going on in WCW, you go to WWE. That's what it was for. And we don't have that now. And TNA, don't even ask me about TNA. Don't even talk to me about TNA. Because TNA could have been a standard bearer. TNA could have been the game changer. But you got an idiot running that organization, and it's running into the ground because she put her money on another guy who's, you know, in all honesty, his better creative days are behind him. And all the crap that went on with that company. You know, and once again, I'm not even going to even say that it was all his fault. Whose fault it was, you know, people like, you know, Dixie Carter employing the guy. When really, what relevant thing has the guy done in years? Nothing. He did some good things to help some good talent like AJ Styles and all these guys. Well, in reality, what did the guy do? And that's the reason why Spike TV has ended their relationship with TNA. We've been talking about TNA. We haven't really talked about them today, but I'm going to say this right now. There was a title change on Impact, Steve.
Was there?
Yeah.
And was it X Division title?
Yeah. No, actually, it wasn't the X Division Championship. It was supposed to be a belt that meant a lot more. And
the Knockouts title?
No, it's a little bit higher on the grade.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah. It was the world title. Do you think anybody cared?
Well, you know, the World Series was on, so obviously nobody's watching that.
We got to blame it on baseball now.
Well, heck, I mean, it's a built-in excuse on Monday nights that, you know, Monday Night Football was on.
Hey, what was the excuse back in the day during the Monday Night Wars when WWE and WCW on Monday night was kicking football's ass? What was that about? There was no excuse then. I mean, you know something? If you look at the ratings from the moment WCW shut down to the moment Steve Austin turned heel, you just look at the ratings decline over all that time up until now. It is absolutely extraordinary the amount of people that have left wrestling that don't watch anymore. What did they say? The Walking Dead made the biggest TV, you know, biggest TV premiere ever, right? This was they shattered the ratings. WWE can only hope and pray for something like that to happen. It is not. Every week you watch Raw. What is it, man? Every it's like, damn, are we back in 2000 now? Because every week it's the same. Triple H starts to show off with a 20-minute promo. It's the same deal. I mean, and it's like the show is so bad now. Every open now for Raw the past 2 years has been a cold open. No more pyrotechnics to hype the crowd, nothing. And they got to sit there for 3 hours. I have been to one of those marathon tapings, Steve. That's where the infamous where I said I don't buy $5 Cokes came from. I went to that Raw, you know, in 2005 in the summer. And I damn near got sick in that place. But I refused to buy a $5 Coke.
And now it's by a $7 Coke.
Yeah, $7 or $9. So you pretty much know what happened when I went to Raw back in February. Yeah, I told people that were with. Yeah, we're going to go over here to Del Taco, and you're going to get a macho drink, and you're going to try to sneak it in the building. Because, that ain't going to happen. I'm not spending $9 for a Coke.
You know, I saw them try to drum up a little business with the title switch on what was Wednesday Night Impact this week. Was what, taped in September, right? Early part of September.
Right.
They finally switched the title. You have your biggest pay-per-view of the year, Bound for Glory.
Yep.
Did defend it. The title hadn't officially switched hands because it didn't air on television, even though it had taken place at one of the TV tapings that nobody attended. But I did see that, you know, Dixie Carter's trying to drum up a little business, talking about what a big title change this is, and congratulations to Bobby Roode, and who cares?
Yeah, she did that.
Who cares?
She did that on Facebook. And you know what? Every time I saw Dixie make a stupid post, right, on Facebook, I went and made a post to her. Hey, Dixie, how about that TV deal? oh, that's cool about the championship title change, but hey, Dixie, what about that TV deal you said in 10 days? Yeah, you think she responded? No. Do you think that she's ever responded to the invitation to come here on the GRP and talk to the fans about TNA? No. Not going to happen. So I'm sick and tired of that, Randy.
Yeah, I mean, we should be sitting here talking about this title change. That should be one of our top issues on this podcast today.
I don't care.
They switch titles, but it doesn't mean anything.
Don't care.
I mean, they're, what, a couple weeks removed from Bound for Glory, and they have zero buzz.
Well, they have no buzz, Steve, because they that's the problem with taping all your shows and putting them in a can. We all already know. We already know what's going to happen. So that's the reason why nobody's watching the show. Nobody's watching the show because the show sucks. But nobody's watching the show because there's no reason to watch the show.
I mean, we're doing a podcast mostly on the WWE. There's no buzz for WWE.
No. And we're not talking positively about the WWE. We're talking about the network.
Yeah, I mean, everything is about the network. They're all in on this network, but it ties so much together with the current product that if fans don't care about the current product, they don't care about the network. They don't want to watch more wrestling right now. I mean, you want to watch wrestling when it's hot and you can't get enough of it. Remember back in the day when Raw and Nitro were on and you couldn't wait to the next week to see what's going to happen as a follow-up? I mean, there's nothing. There's no buzz right now. You could miss 2 months of Raw and miss nothing.
You couldn't wait.
And there's 3 hour shows.
You could. I mean, I couldn't wait. Honestly, dude, I couldn't wait till Saturday got there to watch.
I mean, you got Sunday Night Heat. You're getting excited for the week.
Yeah, Superstars and watch WWE Saturday Night. You know, 3:05 here on the West Coast. I couldn't wait for Saturday to get here. And it felt special when there was a pay per view coming up on Sunday night. Because they would recap it on Saturday. And then, you know, they would – I mean, it's just – my God, man. And you know what? Let's talk a minute here about what's currently going on in the WWE as far as Raw, okay? I'm gonna bring up a couple of things right now. You haven't really been watching, so I'm gonna leave this one. Ryback, Steve, made his return this past week on Raw.
Oh, he did?
Right, yeah, Ryback came back, and it was good to see Ryback. And hopefully this time around, they push Ryback. He was back to being a babyface. He was back to going out there destroying people like he should have been doing this entire last, you know, 2 years or however long he's been.
They're going to push him right in the toilet.
Well, you know what? They're going to have to take a chance with Ryback because they have nobody else. There's no Daniel Bryan around, and God knows if Daniel Bryan's even going to come back at this point.
True. Yeah.
So we don't even know. They got to think about other people. You got Roman Reigns there. Hey, you know what? I might be in a minority, and I was actually chatting with Efren the other day on Facebook about this. I think Roman Reigns sucks. I'm just being honest about it. I think Roman Reigns is very overrated. I think that we already know who the star of the Shield was, and his name was Dean Ambrose. And that's how I feel about that. It was Ambrose. Ambrose versus Wyatt, Steve, I'm actually looking forward to this feud. You know why? Because you got two good talkers there, and they're both creative, you know, storyline. They're both insane characters, right? So that's going to be some good television if they do it correctly. It's going to be good. So I'm actually looking forward to that feud. There's a possibility here that Randy Orton is going to turn babyface. I said that here months ago. They didn't turn Randy Orton face. And I would like to see Randy Orton versus Brock Lesnar. Personally, I want to see that because it's something new. We haven't seen it before. They can go that route. But if you're waiting for Roman Reigns to come back and Superman punching and all that, and his five moves he has, hey, you know what? Is that going to draw against Brock Lesnar? I don't think so. Is this guy going to be the one to go against Brock Lesnar? I don't think so. I mean, Brock Lesnar is the most, you know, legitimate guy you have in the WWE right now, and he's on a sabbatical until January. Whatever happens to the 30 days defend the belt, or you get stripped rule?
Out the window with the over the top rope, no DQ, right?
Right, but yet you strip Daniel Bryan of the belt for not being able to defend it. Because of injury. But Brock Lesnar's champion, oh, it's not a problem. So, you know, that's the issue I have there because, you know what? Your secondary belts don't mean anything. I mean, it was at a point in time, see, back in the day when the Intercontinental belt, you know, they used to call that the workhorse championship. Back when, you know, Bret Hart had...
The precursor to the world title.
Right. That's exactly right. Just like
you were
the
on
US,
the verge of winning the big strap.
That's right. Just like the U.S. championship in WCW, the same thing. Those belts don't mean anything now. And it's kind of like, you know something? You have a situation here where it's kind of like they should never have split the belts, or they should never have, you know, They should never have put the belts together. Because right now, because Brock is off, you can have the World Heavyweight Championship there. You know what I'm saying? And the World Heavyweight Championship could be being defended, so people wouldn't be complaining about, we don't have a world champion on our TV. But it's just the stupidity of the WWE. And it's not Frank D being negative, because I said, somebody said I was being negative. It ain't me being negative. It's me telling the truth. And that's what we do here. We tell the truth, whether you like it or not. Saying some positives. I'm liking where they're going with Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose. I'm very disappointed that they split up the Wyatt family. But I'm very, you know, excited to see where they're going to go with this. I am tired of Triple H and the Authority and Kane. You're talking about overexposed, man. That's overexposed. Where I mean, Mark Henry has turned the heel, see, for the millionth time. He's on the feud with the Big Slow. Who the hell gives a damn?
Crickets.
Yeah. Who gives a damn about Big Show versus Mark Henry again? Didn't we see this already for the world title? And then they were a tag team. And now you got Mark Henry coming out there looking like he and thinking he's Rick Ross. Now, you probably don't know who Rick Ross is, see, but he's a rapper. But he's him out there looking like Rick Ross. And it's just garbage.
I know Jim Ross. I don't know Rick Ross.
You know Jim Ross, but you don't know Rick Ross, right? You mean Rick Ross, the rapper's a fraud because he sold Freeway Ricky Ross's name. That's a different story. Bottom line is this. I'm excited to see where certain days are going, but I'm not excited the whole wide spectrum of WWE because I pretty much can predict you right now. This is Friday, October 31st. I guarantee you this Monday night, okay, November 3rd, guarantee you, Monday night Raw starts off with the Authority. Guarantee you.
Crickets.
Yep. That's what Alvarez would say. No buys!
You know, I want to say something real quick, too, because you were alluding to the ratings excuses we always hear. You know, Impact, this week was impacted with Game 7. I guess, what, 23 million people watched the Game 7 of the Royals and the Giants. And then the building excuse on Monday night during the football season is, well, you know, Raw went up against Monday Night Football. And one of the other excuses I commonly see is people will say, well, Raw is still among the top-rated shows on cable television. It's still, you know, top 2, top 4, top 7, top 8. I mean, usually the 3 hours of Raw, hour-wise, will still end up in the top 10. The problem is, Frank, is not everybody watches cable television like they used to.
No, they
don't. I got rid of cable television. I got rid of satellite. I can watch a lot of the same shows you watch, you know, getting the over-the-air channels, the over-the-air networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, etc. I can watch a lot of the same programs you see through Hulu or Netflix. Netflix has a lot of current shows on there that you can watch replays of. So just saying that Raw is still among the top-rated shows on cable television, the landscape of television has changed dramatically.
Absolutely.
And it's not just everybody sits down. I mean, how many people watch things on DVR now? And you'll see a DVR adjustment. You know, so many people watch this show through their DVR. They didn't watch it live at 9 o'clock or at 8 o'clock or whatever the situation may be. I'm kind of getting tired of this excuse too, Frank, is saying, well, you know, they're in the top 10 every week. The three other hours still right in the top 10. The landscape of a cable television satellite has changed dramatically, and you know, you can sit there and say, well, you know, they're still among the top 10. Well, you know, you've lost how much viewership on a weekly basis now. It's not just so much the ratings, but when you look at 4 million people, used to be 5 million people, used to be 6 million people, 7 million people would watch Raw on a weekly basis. 8 million people would watch Raw going back in the day. And, you know, your audience is dwindled down. And, yeah, you're still among the top rated shows on cable, but I don't think that says a whole lot anymore, Frank. You just can't say that we're among the top 10 every week, but in reality is you've lost a lot of your viewership, and I think that's something they really need to pay attention to. Is that's great that you can tell, you know, we helped USA become the top-rated network once again, but you've lost a lot of your core fans are gone from watching Monday Night Raw.
Oh, they are, because you remember back in the day, Steve, you remember that, you know, wrestling would be in the top five. You remember Raw, Nitro, and Thunder, I believe it was at the time.
Right.
Would be in the top five. So that's nothing. Something to brag about when your audience, you know, your ratings are like, what is that, 2.6 now?
Yeah, 2.6.
So you're doing like we said before, you're doing pre-attitude era numbers, and then on top of that, you're doing the same numbers that Nitro was doing before it went off the air. How about that?
And this is a different, totally different topic, but the Nielsen has a monopoly on the television rating system, right? And I really question how accurate some of these Nielsen numbers are. I'm not saying people are not watching Raw, because certainly people are watching Raw. But, you know, we've talked about this before with the TNA numbers. They get a million viewers a week, or 1.1 million viewers a week. They didn't this week because of the World Series, of course. But nothing to do with it because it's not a hot show or anything. But, you know, the World Series was on. Okay, so
yeah,
the viewership
was
below a million.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the fact that it sucks.
But I'm seeing these numbers. You know, every Nielsen has been sued over the years. They've admitted glitches with the rating system. It's not a perfect system. It's amazing to me in 2014 with NSA watching everything we do, they should have some more accurate measure of what's on TV, who's watching it at what time. And yet, you know, they're relying on this old Nielsen box system, which I don't know, Frank. I've said this before, I think, on this podcast. I don't know anybody that's ever had a Nielsen box.
Unless it's inside of our, our cable, you know, boxes or something, our DVR boxes, I have no idea.
Yeah, I've never seen any. I remember on DirecTV, you could go on to the menu section and you could see what was currently being watched most on the network or on the DirecTV. So, like at 8 o'clock, you could see that most people are watching Bill O'Reilly. And then it would show you what's on, you know, what's second, what's third, what's fourth. And you go on the next hour and you could see exactly what people are watching. The majority of people watching DirecTV would show you, oh, SpongeBob is on, so people are watching SpongeBob or whatever the shows are.
Right.
I'm just using those examples. I don't know. I don't remember because I don't really watch a lot of television. But certainly there's a better way to accurately measure what people are watching. And yet Nielsen are the standard for ratings. I just question how accurate these numbers are anymore. Because, again, you know, million people watch Impact, yet nobody watches, nobody buys their merchandise, nobody goes to their house shows, etc. You know, you got 4 million people week watching WWE, and what is the network number? 700,000 buys? People have unsubscribed to it?
Yeah. But,
so you wonder how accurate these numbers really are.
Yeah, but look at the numbers for WWE's attendance, though, too. I mean, those attendance numbers are not really, you know, I mean, look at the shows that they do. Look at some of these house shows that they've done lately, like 3,000 people.
I don't see people wearing John Cena shirts. I don't see people wearing Randy Orton shirts.
I've never seen anybody wear a Randy Orton t-shirt. But I'm just being honest with you. The people that I've come in contact with, I have seen them wear a CM Punk shirt. I'll give Punk that one. I don't like CM Punk, but I'll give them that. I've seen one person wear your shirt. But,
well, Frank, I see more NWO shirts than I do to see John Cena.
That's right. I got NWO t-shirts in my closet right now. When I went to wrestling in February at Staples Center, when we went to Raw, we were all decked out in NWO. It was me, my sister, my girl. We were all NWO, black and white. And people were like, whoa, look at those NWO shirts. My other sister wore a DX, so she was kind of like, you know, a little hippie. But every one of us had an NWO shirt on. And I saw guys inside the building had NWO shirts on. There was a guy in NWO sweatpants on, Steve. So,
oh boy.
That was a sight. That I'll show you something, man. And then one thing really quick here, the Usos, right? I am so sick and tired of the Usos. Their matches have become so predictable now. You know every spot they're going to do before they do it.
Well, let me interject something, too. You were talking about the T-shirts, mm-hmm. and people are saying, well, people still buy the NWO T-shirts, and I'm sure they do, Frank. But a lot of the T-shirts I see that are NWO are the older T-shirts.
Right.
They're not necessarily buying fresh, brand-new 2014 NWO shirts.
Right.
I know they market them, they sell them, but a lot of the NWO shirts I've seen are people that have had these shirts for years.
Right, and I have the ones that I have for years. And I have bought the new ones. I didn't buy them from WWE, though. I bought it from a private distributor on eBay. That's where I buy them from. Because WWE puts out the T-shirt now. The WWE puts out. It doesn't. It's not exactly. If you know what I'm talking about. If you look at the NWO logo, like look at Hulk Hogan's birthday bash, and look at the T-shirts they were wearing, and look at compare that shirt to the shirt that they had in 2002, and compare that one to the one that they used to wear back in WCW. You can see that it's three different shirts. The logo is completely different. And I'm still looking for one of those originals from back in the day. I might actually just, you know, get the logo off the computer and just go have one made myself, because they don't have those authentic original T-shirts from back in the day. But I don't see anybody wearing the new merchandise. I still see people wearing Austin 316. I still see people wearing Hulkamania. I see people wearing Macho Man. I still see people wearing those Sting Scorpion T-shirts. But I don't see anybody wearing John Cena. I don't see anybody wearing Randy Orton. I don't see anybody wearing the Usos. I don't see anybody wearing, you know, Triple H. You know, they had an Authority T-shirt, Steve, and the only person I saw wearing it was Seth Rollins.
And yet here we are. They have 4 million viewers a week, and where is everybody buying this merchandise?
Yeah.
So should they not be surprised the network isn't getting over at this point, because it's not translating?
Right.
It makes me really wonder how many viewers do they really have on a weekly basis. How accurate are these Nielsen numbers? You know, Nielsen has been sued, as I said before, for inaccurate numbers. You know, these numbers have great impact on just about everything in the industry, and yet there's a big question mark in my mind. I know I remember Eric Bischoff used to say he'd question the ratings, you know, when he started losing as well. But you really have to wonder how accurate these numbers really are, and are the WWE universe out there? Are they going out and buying merchandise? Are the listeners out there of GRP here? Are they going out? Are you buying the merchandise? Are you buying the DVDs? Are you buying the T-shirts? Are you buying all the other? Are you buying the video game right now? Another product.
Oh,
of WWE.
God! Don't even get me started on that video game. let me tell you something right now. If you don't have a current gen system, and that's a PS4 or Xbox One, don't even bother buying WWE 2K15 on Xbox 360 or the PS3. I have seen the reviews, and you actually can go over right now to IGN, and you can check out their review of the 360 version. That game is horrible, okay? If you have WWE 2K14 like I do, you might as well play that. Until, you know, the game drops on the 18th for the PS4 and Xbox One to see where they're at as far as the new features, as far as what they added to it, don't even waste your time buying it. It's $60 that you're going to regret you spent, because it is a horrible game. The roster is shrunk in that game. They don't have a lot of the creative stuff that they had. They had who got NXT mode that sucks. It's just, I wouldn't waste my time with it. I mean, you know something, Steve? I know you're not a big video game guy with the WWE games, but I am. How is it that Sting, first of all, they have Sting coming out making his entrance, and Sting, you know, Steve, Sting has always been, as far as I know, he's always been from Venice Beach, California. That's where Sting has always been built from. Well, why is it that he's coming from every man's nightmare or some crap? This is where they say he's from. And they put out a DLC pack last year for 2K14, which consisted of it was called the NWO pack, right? That gave you Hall, Nash, Scott Steiner, Kurt Hennig, X-Pac S6, and you had Hollywood Hogan. Yeah, I believe I said the Giant, if I haven't already. They're nowhere to be found on this game, but you got the Crow Sting in the game. Wouldn't it make sense to put out a Nitro Arena and have the NWO on the game if you finally have Sting in the game? That would make sense to me.
You know, I'm not a big gamer, as you know, Frank, but yeah. I read some of the reviews, and it's not very positive right now for that new video game.
No, it's not.
It's always anticipated every year, the release of the WWE video game, and that's going to be a lot of disappointed people this year with that.
There are a lot of pissed off people, especially the people who are on the last-gen systems. And the last-gen people are the PS3s and Xbox 360s. The current-gen version comes out on November 18th, and you're definitely going to hear it on GRP here. When I get the game, I will let you people out there know exactly how it is and what they added and what they took away.
That's frustrating because, you know, I am a Madden fan, and the last couple of years they eliminated the franchise mode in Madden.
Yeah.
There's like a Superstars version or Superstars mode or whatever. Well, I miss the old franchise mode.
Yeah.
Where I could go from season to season, have the same roster, or make trades, draft my players, and I guess they don't have that anymore in the current Madden game. So I haven't bought a Madden game since Madden 12, the last season they had the franchise mode.
Yeah.
So, and I've actually gone back and ordered some of the older Madden games just to go back for nostalgia and play those games over again. But disappointing. I know I know we'll probably talk more about the video game, you know, in weeks and months to come. But,
yep.
Boy, the numbers are just alarming right now. You know, to summarize everything up, Frank, we have a situation with WWE that thinks everything's fine, has a press conference where they don't want to say anything, and, you know, they've spent all this money to market the network, and I still think they're missing the boat. And as you said, Frank, if WWE's product gets hot, which I don't see, of course, but if it does, then the network will thrive. And until that point, there's going to be no buzz for Survivor Series. There's probably going to be not much buzz for Royal Rumble. And you have to really, really question, Frank, what are they going to do for WrestleMania this year that'll pique fans' interest in the event?
Well, there's no streak anymore, so we can't depend on that. We're doubtful we're ever going to see Stone Cold Steve Austin on The Rock. Sting is questionable if they want to do something with Sting. I don't know, man. I really honestly don't know. I don't really know. And I don't even know if Austin, Sting, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin on the same show, WrestleMania or Raw or anything, would even do it, would have any effect on business.
That's interesting. I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question to pose out there.
Because, hey, Austin, Hogan, and Rock were on WrestleMania this year. Did you really do anything to drive business after WrestleMania? No.
No. No.
I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin was in the news weeks ago when, you know, people out there thought that he was going to go back into the wrestling ring. Well, look at how that buzz has died off. Look at when we were talking here, you know, a month ago about, you know, Prince Devitt and Kenta and Kevin Steen, that buzz is over.
Yep.
They get your hype on something and then it's over. You know what I mean? It's just, it's done. It really is. I mean, Jim Cornette says it best. The rest of the business is dead. It's a done deal. You've told all the secrets and then you try to live in the world of kayfabe and there is no kayfabe anymore. WWE yesterday with that conference call, Steve, it was kayfabe. They're in their own bubble where everything is okay. They're positive on the outlook of the network, and they're positive on the outlook of the business, and they're, you know, these people are insane. that's not my sum up. They are really insane. And notice this, if you haven't listened to the conference call, you can go to the Gerd Report Facebook page. We have the audio up there right now. You notice that Vince McMahon said what he said, and he didn't say anything else. He didn't answer any questions. Vince was very—he was hiding it, but he was very, very pissed off. You could tell. I mean, I never heard Vince McMahon start talking, and he messes up his lines. You know something's wrong. But then again, here's the same guy who called Booker T the WCW champion in 2005, I think it was, something like that. I'm wrong. So, I don't know.
Man, Frank, there's just, like, nothing going on. TNA is in the crapper right now on its deathbed. No buzz for WWE. Nobody watches Ring of Honor. I don't have a lot of hopes for Global Force Wrestling. And, yeah, who said it? Jim Cornette said the wrestling business is in the crapper?
Yeah, Jim Cornette said the wrestling business is dead. But I tell you what.
Yeah.
Hey, all you CM Punk fans out there, go tweet him to come back and save the business, right?
I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
No.
He couldn't save the business anyways.
No. We should mention here that Facebook group, Gerwick Report podcast on Facebook, is growing. 1,600 members plus. A lot of great discussion every day. Topics that I kick around, Frank D. kicks around. Somebody suggests a good topic every now and then on the Facebook page as well. So definitely join us there. Follow us on Twitter, Gerwick Report, at twitter.com. So we, you know, unlike WWE, Frank, well, they don't want the interaction. We do want the interaction. Let us know what you think. What you agree with, what you disagree with. We're always in tune with the fans out there. Want to know what's on their minds currently, because it's a frustrating time to be a wrestling fan right now.
Absolutely. And you can also follow us as well on and subscribe to our official YouTube channel. And that's that Gerwick Report Podcast at YouTube.com. Check us out there. We have some videos up there. We have current interviews that we've done with Teddy Long, Ron Simmons, Brodus Clay, Vince Russo, all those videos up there. And we're going to be adding more content as the time goes on. Whenever I'm free to do that, I'll be adding more content up there. You can also reach out to us as well. So even and you didn't even know this one. You can reach out to us at the Girls Report podcast at gmail.com as well. So
there you go.
Check us out on there. You can follow Frank D at RealFrankDEE at Twitter.com as well. I'm usually interactive up there, so you can hit me up over there as well. And, you know, that's pretty much all it is. And before we sign off here, I want to wish everybody out there a happy, safe Halloween. I'll check you later.
Yeah, and definitely, if you enjoy this podcast, please spread the word about the Garlic Report podcast.